I had to pick out the casting, mm-hmm. who it was that they were supposed
Little
to be.
Little Scotty's on.
Con.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
The reason why I brought this up is because...
What is that?
Okay, world's largest Ferris wheel, what? The High Roller, is on its way to Las Vegas. Now, I'm going out to Las Vegas, as we do for Kwanzaa every year. How we celebrate Kwanzaa.
Right.
Because the first day of Kwanzaa is gambling.
Right.
Is a celebration. It says here, the High Roller, a planned Las Vegas observation wheel. Now, it's important that it says planned, because in Las Vegas, many things do not come to fruition.
Right.
Like, there's half-baked ideas all over the place. This observation wheel is set to be the largest in the world, taller than the London Eye and the Singapore Flyer.
Now, why do you always have to make something like the biggest thing or the most, whatever it is?
But let me hit you with this.
Yeah.
So that one's called the High Roller. So this is Las Vegas. So you know that somebody else had a similar idea. And right down the street, there's another one.
The Medium Roller.
It's going to be the Link, LINQ. Las Vegas, and that's
you
going
know
to
everybody's
have...
gonna just mangle that.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense to do it. Why would you want that in Las
Vegas?
Oh no,
sorry, I'm mistaken. The High Roller is a part of the Link, which is going to be the dining and entertainment project, and the main attraction is this Ferris wheel. It's going to be 550 feet high. And you're supposed to go up into it, and it's going to open in 2013. I'm like, people are just going to be proposing up there. Like, there's nothing else can happen up there.
But I think it's dangerous to have that with people drinking so much. And then,
oh, you know they're going to be drinking.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have a waitress in the capsule.
It's going to be, like, vomit raining down.
So well, if you don't throw up in that one, you can throw up in the one that's 500 feet tall called the Sky View, and it's going to be down the street from this one.
Okay.
And that's going to have a LED digital ad signage on it. Classy. Like, that's a little
classy. The opposite of.
Like, it's observation wheels. They're going to have closed capsules, and then they just go around.
They're going to be closed capsules?
Yeah,
so people are going to be doing it.
Yeah, people are going to
be doing it.
And it's supposed to take about a half an hour.
You're going to slip the guy, like, an extra 20 to stop you at the top.
To get your beach at the very top. Beach with a view. I don't know. I've never liked Ferris wheels. When I used to go to carnivals or... amusement parks, that was the one ride that I was like,
because they're boring.
Yeah, they're boring. Go up to the top of the building.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. And to have two, these are going to be really close to each other, too. It would be like having one on 23rd Street and then having one on 34th Street.
Yeah. No, that's kind of a silly thing. Oh, or then you and your friends can try to get online and sync it up.
Yeah.
So you're at the same
time.
Yeah,
I see you. It's going to be expensive as all get out. There's going to be a line. I don't know. It's just not. You know what I like about Las Vegas? Gambling and strippers. What is this?
Well, because you know what? The fools put in the roller coaster.
Yeah,
there in
Circus.
New York. Right. So they have that there. That's the one. That's one of the casinos there, New York. And they have the roller coaster, which will beat the sides of your head. Have you been on this?
Oh, really? No. I'm 5 feet tall, people, and every roller coaster beats the crap out of me. I look like I've done 10 rounds when I come out of a roller coaster. My head just...
Yeah, you know what? And they tell you. They say, take out your earrings. Beforehand. And I thought, well, if they're kind of dangling, I could see them getting caught on something, so they want you to take them out. But I had posts. I had just little posts in there.
I don't think I want to hear the rest of the story.
And so I thought, oh, it's not going to get caught on anything. That's fine. I'll keep them in.
Your neck.
Oh, did the back of those earrings stab my neck like you wouldn't
you
believe.
You should own this casino.
No, it's my fault because I didn't take them out.
They told me to.
Okay. They told me to, and I didn't believe them because I thought they wouldn't. It was the idea of them catching.
Why should you listen to them? Look what they've done.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And even funnier, they took a picture of you at some point, like dropping down and turning.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend and I were on it, and her face is like this big smile, like, yay, isn't it great? And mine is pain.
Is there like blood trickling down your neck? I have a picture. I went on one of these like roller coaster type of free fall thing at the Stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to me, Greg was like, you know, got a picture of it. You know, they take the pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
I looked like somebody had ripped out my entrance. Like, I just looked awful. Yeah. My head had been elongated. It was the worst thing ever.
So what is your picture going to look like on this Ferris wheel?
I don't know, but they're probably going to sell it to you. Boy, yeah, two people sitting in a capsule, like.
Looking forward.
Mm-hmm. This is the worst hoge I've ever had. La-da-da. I just think it's so weird. There's so, like, I love Las Vegas. There's so much to do there.
They don't need this.
They don't need this. They have this new thing out there called the Goratorium. You know, Eli Roth, the guy who did Hostel.
Yeah.
It's like 200,000 square feet of getting chased by a zombie. I'm into that.
That's right.
That sounds like fun. But a Ferris wheel? What are we, in 1920?
Are the capsules going to be air-conditioned, I hope? They better be. I don't know. If they're not.
Unless they're going to come down and just be melted people.
Sweat chamber. You lost like 10 pounds. Have to go to a buffet to gain it all back.
It's a Ferris wheel. It's like, if it were 1920, I'd be excited. This were like a World's Fair exhibition. I wouldn't be able to go. But I mean, I'd be excited about it. This just seems kind of boring.
You would be.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be able to get on it. But I'm just saying, you know, now I can't get on it. I don't want to.
Oh, okay, fine.
All right. I want to try to do my discount celebrity if I can. So
we are now in Celebrity Corner, and this segment is called Discount Celebrity, where we take your A-list celebrity and serve them up and then say...
We whip them away, and when you can't afford that, we bring you... Little shriveled up, a smaller patty, no bun, no side, just a grizzled piece of meat, and that's your D-lister, and we give you that
and
too.
And you can afford that.
Yeah, because times are tight. Yeah. You can't always have Christian Bale.
You can't.
You know, sometimes you gotta go for William Fichtner. You know, you have to do what you have to do. You can't always get Nicolas Cage. You know, sometimes you gotta do John Cusack.
You have to, that's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't get the Halle Berry, and you get Vivica Fox.
Yeah, or you just don't make a movie, it seems like, lately. Because you don't want either of those. So
who do you have this week?
This was brought to us. I want to thank King of Hearts, who brought it to us before. And we are, I don't know if you have a shot glass. If you don't, let us know.
No, we do. We sent him a shot.
We sent him one. Okay, so don't ask again, please.
Yeah, because we're just taking what King of Hearts, you emailed us, and we read your email. But now we're really going to get into
We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
So the A-lister is... Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, yes.
Owen Wilson is blonde, kind of a beach blonde, kind of like, tan guy with a messed up nose. It says he's a self-proclaimed troublemaker.
How? I don't know. The least troublemaking that I ever.
Born in 1968 in Dallas, Texas.
All right.
Owen Cunningham Wilson. His nickname is O. I bet it is. Right. And his height is 5'10 and a half, 1.79 meters.
Oh, really? No, that's 5'8 to you and me.
Yeah. So his brother is Luke Wilson. And then who's also an actor.
He's like a big face.
You want the long face. If you could get him and Sarah Jessica Parker together, you could just have face. You just put a hat on top and then some feet on the bottom. They have a third brother.
Like a potato head face, right? Not in a bad way. I mean,
I mean the bad way. They have a third brother. So they have a website that's like a fan site for the three of them.
The third brother is like always behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah. He's literally, there's Owen Wilson on one side, Luke Wilson, and then about 20 paces back, they have photo fused in probably Andrew Wilson.
And Andrew Wilson got shot in the hand with a BB gun, and so he has a BB in his hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, that was his hand? Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay,
you're welcome, Jaquetta.
I like that piece of information about Andrew Wilson. This is probably the most press Andrew has gotten ever. So you're welcome. So self-proclaimed troublemaker Owen Wilson, he grew up in Texas with his mother, Laura, who's a photographer. His dad was an ad executive. And he...
Are you bored with that?
Yeah. It's like, who cares? He finished his sophomore year at the school that he was always going to. And then apparently something went wild. They sent him to military school.
Oh, that's where the trouble came in. Mm-hmm. So what did he...
Right. Doesn't say what he did. Then he went to University of Texas, where he met Wes Anderson. And he's been in tons of Wes Anderson movies.
That's why they always work together. Yep. They're buddies.
He ran into him in college. So he made his film debut in Bottle Rocket, which is where I first saw him, which is a fantastic small film. Mm-hmm. Luke and Owen Wilson.
Right.
Owen Wilson plays this crazy guy, Dignan, who he says is very much like him.
All right.
This is kind of interesting. And that's when I first realized, like, what's up with this dude's nose? In any case.
That's when you first realized?
Yeah, because I thought it was a character thing.
No.
But then I saw him again, and I was like, no, that's real.
You had to get used to it.
It's not a prosthetic. Then he went from doing Bottle Rocket to doing big blockbuster movies such as Cable Guy, The Haunting. I think Liam Neeson was in that. Anaconda and Breakfast of Champions. And then he got Better Work. This is according to his biography.
Oh, okay.
In Shanghai Noon, Meet the Parents, and Behind Enemy Lines. And, of course, Royal Tenenbaums, The Life Aquatic.
Right.
Darjeeling, like all the Wes Anderson movies. So he was...
You can't be, like, Wes Anderson can't make a movie without him.
No, they love each other.
Yeah.
He's been romantically linked with Sheryl Crow, which
I didn't know that. Ooh.
Sheryl Crow just don't care, people. She doesn't. Lance Armstrong, Owen Wilson. His trademarks are his nose, his hair, his mellow voice, and that he works with Ben Stiller. How is that a trademark? But he really...
Hey, your trademark now is that you work with me.
Yeah. My trademark is that I work with Katie Kazmir. I don't do any projects that don't involve Katie Kazmir anymore. And also my nose and my mop of blonde hair. Okay, so despite... He's one of these guys, though, even though he's very successful as an actor, he really has always just wanted to be a writer. And he considers himself to be a writer. So he's co-written Wes Anderson's movies.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But I know that his brother tried to write a screenplay, and he wrote it on a legal pad, and it was like 200 pages. And he was like, why did I do that?
I don't know. No one even wants to see that.
No one wants to see it, and they ever tried, and you have to rewrite that all by hand.
And he wrote it like cut to.
Yeah.
Like interior.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he's co-written three Wes Anderson movies, but nothing else that I could find. So while he may consider himself to be a writer, Hollywood feels otherwise.
Right. Okay.
He's a member of what the media calls the Frat Pack, which is Will Ferrell, Jack Black, Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, Steve Carell, who to me is...
It's not part of
not
that.
Not part of that. And Luke Wilson.
Yeah, we both knew that.
Yeah, it
it's
just
like
doesn't
we all know
seem
that.
Right.
America knows that.
America knows. He's been in 10 movies with Ben Stiller.
Good Lord.
And this is interesting. He and Luke were supposed to be in Ocean's 11, but they dropped out to do the Royal Tenenbaums.
Really?
Which they probably got more screen
time in. And
then
they got young Scott Kahn probably in there.
Steve Zahn?
Scott.
Who's Scott Kahn?
Kahn. James Kahn's son.
Oh, really?
He's like 4'8".
Oh, you mean Little Steve? What's his name?
Is it Scott Kahn?
Scotty Kahn.
Or is it? I don't know. He's in Hawaii 5-0 on television.
Are you adding this in or not? You're not sure? Sure?
I'm just thinking about the Ocean's 11 movies.
And you tried to add something in. You're not even sure.
But I'm just saying, if I had to pick out the casting, who it was that they were supposed
little
to be.
Little Scotty's on.
Kahn.
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 Kahn. Kahn! All right. So his personal quotes are, and you know, he annoys me a little bit.
Okay. Really?
His personal quotes are, it's funny how it usually works that I end up dying. It sort of works out because by the time I die, I'm usually started working on a movie. His characters always bite it. He says, I'm not going to play a guy with MS or a guy in a wheelchair. I can play dramatic, but I'm not really a chameleon type actor who, you know, changes his voice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as acting.
Ah,
chameleon type? I mean, a chameleon type to me is someone who undergoes a full transformation. We're just saying modulate your voice a little bit.
Right, right, right. You know? Don't be yourself in every role.
Yeah, which is what
and
he...
put a slap a name
he
on
does,
it.
Which is why his characters die, I guess. Then he says this really... I think of myself as a doom person. Like all of the... I'm a worrier, but I like the idea of being an optimist. But maybe I'm the kind of optimist who deep down knows it's not going to work.
That's not an optimist.
Okay, so films he's been in. We said Bottle Rocket, Anaconda, Zoolander, which I actually really enjoyed him in. There's rumors that Zoolander 2 is coming out.
Oh, that would be nice.
And there's an even bigger rumor that he might be in it. He's done a lot of voiceover stuff. Marmaduke, Fantastic Mr. Fox. But he was also in Drillbit, Taylor, Marley and Me.
Yeah.
You, Me, and Dupree.
Marley and Me will make you cry.
It's a dog movie.
Yeah, but I don't even like dogs.
And you still
and
were
I cried.
Upset. Is Jennifer Aniston in that?
Yeah.
That makes me cry. He was in Hall Pass, Midnight in Paris. Here's what he has coming up. 2013, You Are Here is a comedy with two childhood best friends who embark on a road trip to their hometown after one of them learns he has inherited a large sum of money. That's with Zach Galifianakis, though we've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson. And then a woman.
Yeah.
Melissa
Rauch. Whoever.
Then The Internship, two recently laid off men in their 40s try to make it as an intern at a successful internet company where the managers are in their 20s.
Ugh.
If I pitched this, I would be out on my patoot so fast.
Well, because...
Written by Vince Vaughn. starring Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
Oh my God.
And Will Ferrell. And then he's going to be in something called the Freezing People is Easy. A man experiments with the burgeoning field of cryogenics in the 1960s. This looks interesting. Paul Rudd.
Okay.
Christopher Walken, who I hope is the guy who gets unfrozen.
Right. No kidding. When did that be?
And Owen Wilson. And then the Zoolander thing. So that is our
That's the A.
No, this is the discount. This is the discount.
Oh.
So you know. You remember this one?
Oh, right. Right.
So our A-lister is the ultimate Hey, You Know It A-lister.
That's right.
Matthew David McConaughey.
David.
Yeah. He is 6 feet tall. 6 feet tall.
That's it. 1.83 meters.
Yep. He was born in 1969 in Texas. He was the youngest son of a gas station owner. And he's a bit of a wild child. Like, he wanted to go to law school. And then he read a book and decided to drop out of law school and become an actor. And he did.
What was the book?
The book is called The Greatest Salesman in the World.
And he was like, I need to get in on this.
Yeah. And he immediately became an actor. He was in some short films. And then he got cast in Dazed and Confused, where he plays that creepy older guy.
The elder, like, yeah.
I keep getting older. The chicks stay the same age.
Yeah, I keep going after high school girls.
And right. They thought he was going to be too handsome for that. And then he grew out his beard and mustache and his hair a little while. And they were like, okay, I think he still looks really good in that. Which is the creepiest part of that right. character. Is that you're like, well, I probably would have given him a little bit if I were
That's
junior.
Right. That's right. And that's why he was such
yeah,
a creep.
But he was supposed to be a really creepy guy in a really small part. But because he's a great improviser, apparently uh-huh. he ended up getting like a bunch of lines. 300 lines.
Wow.
That's a lot from a part that was supposed to be just a few like, lines.
And it was supposed to be nasty.
Yeah. And you know, somebody ended up on the cutting room floor and is like, no, why? Little Scotty Khan, maybe. Whatever his name is. So then he was in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Renee Zellweger.
Right. They were.
Then he moved to L.A. and he was in Lone Star, A Time to Kill with Sandra Bullock and Kevin Spacey. He was in Contact.
I've seen all of these movies.
Contact?
Because he's Matthew McConaughey.
Because he's Matthew. You don't even want to see them. You're drawn to it.
Yeah. And you will see it against your will.
He was in Amistad.
Yep.
Which is great. I don't even remember him from that. But it's, you know,
he was there.
He was there. He was also in The Revel. And then a film called U-571.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Wow. The Wedding Planner.
Yes. I've seen all.
Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I know you saw that.
Yeah, of course.
And my favorite Matthew McConaughey, and I'll have to cut this in, is his performance in Reign of Fire.
Yep.
With Christian Bale. Right? So it's all coming together. His trademarks are his curly hair, protagonist of romantic comedy films. That's a weird trademark. He actually says he doesn't like romantic comedies, but people like to see him in them.
So he'll do that.
And he doesn't want to rob them of that.
Right. Give the people what they
want.
And
they
it's
want.
More of him with no shirt on, right?
Yeah. Well, that's his other trademark, is habitually taking off his shirt.
Sure.
If I see Matthew McConaughey and he's wearing a shirt, I'm going to be angry. I'm going to ask him to take it off. I don't care if I'm in the mall. Just walking around L.A.
Listen,
if I'm at the Grove and I see him.
I'm one of your people.
Yeah.
You need to...
He was arrested in 1999 for weed. The police came also for a disturbance at his house, and they burst in, and he was playing bongo drums.
Yeah,
in the
I remember that. I remember that was big in the news.
Awesome.
It was
so awesome. Voted most handsome his senior year in high school.
Oh, right.
A member of the Delta Tau fraternity. He loves golf, and his first professional acting job was in a beer commercial.
Good. But he's also known for saying, just keep living, right?
Yes.
JKL.
And he has his own line of clothing called JKL, Just Keep Living. And I also found out, this is really interesting, he has a foundation called Just Keep Living that actually helps high school students lead more active lives and eat healthy, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to do that. He can just take off his shirt. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, that's it. But he's like, see, he takes off his shirt and says, this is what you get if you eat healthy.
Yeah. While his partner was having a baby, she had a really long labor, he stayed and played Brazilian music the entire time.
That's nice.
Himself. Probably with no shirt on.
Yeah.
The nurses were probably like, is there anything else going on? Yeah. Oh, there's a woman having a baby. There's a shirtless Matthew McConaughey in the room. And he and his partner, Camilla, are really into working with children and helping children.
Nice.
He does a lot of stuff with Woody Harrelson, which is, I think, is pretty awesome.
Well, there's... Probably smoking.
Yeah. Probably planting a seed, getting arrested.
Yeah.
What else was it? So the films that he's been in, we went over. He started off in an Unsolved Mysteries Time to Kill, Lone Star, Wedding Planner, of course, Magic Mike, can't believe I left that out, Killer Joe, Bernie, the Lincoln Lawyer. He plays a lawyer a lot on TV.
He, Magic Mike, his role in that was probably one of my favorite Matthew McConaughey roles.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, right now, we were talking about people losing weight. Right now, he is extremely thin.
I saw that footage.
He's going to be playing in a movie called The Dallas Buyers Club. It's about, it's a, based on a true story about a man who was living with HIV/AIDS in 1986.
Oh.
And wanted to try what was experimental medication at the time. So he's playing this character. And it's supposed to be a really good film. Matthew McConaughey's in it, obviously. Jennifer Garner, Jared Leto, and Steve Zahn, who I think is another Matthew McConaughey discount.
He is a discount.
They were in
yeah.
Sahara together.
Okay.
And that's when I thought, okay.
I like Steve Zahn.
And then he's going to be in The Wolf of Wall Street, about a New York stockbroker who refuses to cooperate in a large securities fraud case involving corruption. And the director is Martin Scorsese. So this is like, boom.
It's big time, Matthew.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, who he's lost roles to in the past, which I can't believe. Matthew McConaughey and Jonah Hill. People.
Come on.
Really? Really?
Why?
And then he's going to be, he's in a movie called, a TV series. We're going to see Matthew McConaughey on TV.
Weekly?
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Oh.
This has got to be an HBO thing. Two detectives, Rust Cole and Martin Hart, they become entangled, their lives become entangled during a 17-year hunt for a Louisiana serial killer in Louisiana. I don't know why Louisiana twice. Interesting. And then he's going to be in a...
And where? In Louisiana?
In Louisiana. Oh. Louisiana. And then Thunder Run, a dangerous, bloody capture of Baghdad by American forces during the Iraq War with Matthew McConaughey, Gerard Butler. Good for Gerard Butler. Really?
Yeah.
And Sam Worthington.
He's falling off. He had a big hot streak, Gerard Butler did. And then suddenly nothing.
Then nothing. But now he's in here with Matthew McConaughey.
No, he's going to get
And Matthew McConaughey's got top billing.
Oh my!
And his name begins with an M, and the other guy with a B. So it's not about
it's not alphabetical. Yeah. So stop trying to kid yourself, Gerard Butler.
Yeah, you should.
It's not alphabetical.
Thank your lucky stars.
Yeah.
So that's our A-lister. And
what's your discount?
I think this is a really tough one. I think the discount here is gonna be.
She's thinking. Like
I know.
I wish you could see this. Process.
If I would pay $1 million for Matthew McConaughey, I might pay. $350,000.
Oh.
So, yeah. He's at 35%, people. I'm sorry. He just can't bring it. He doesn't have the
65%
depth.
65% off.
He doesn't have the depth of the roles. And he's not sexy. And as King of Hearts points out, he's trying... Matthew McConaughey, when he tries to be funny, it doesn't work as well. But he can work a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson just can't be sexy.
Yeah.
Just can't happen. So, I don't see the need for Owen Wilson.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're lucky I'm giving him 35. I would just say make all those movies with Matthew McConaughey if McConaughey will do it. And
if
you know
he'll
do he
it,
will.
Won't. Yeah.
All right, all right. So that's our discount.
Very
celebrity.
Good, very good.
Phew.
Nicely done.
Now I'm going to sit back and let Katie take the rest of the podcast.
Right,
the
that's
way.
Right.
Thank
okay.
you, King of Hearts.
Yeah, King of Hearts. That was really great. You gave us a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I got to show you. This is the segment Unpopular Science and Mechanics.
What in the Sam Hill is that? Is that? Okay.
Okay. It says here, the article, it says, weird Flintstone bike has no pedals or seat.
Okay. It's just a death trap, people.
Yeah,
they just
so
throw you off a hill.
A German engineering students have created a new way of getting around, and it's called the Flitz.
Mm-hmm.
The new James Dyson Award nominated form of transportation is powered the old-fashioned way by your feet, Fred Flintstone style. Okay. With no pedals or seat, will this new form of transportation actually take off?
I need one of those things. This isn't... I need a seat.
So it is for... I'm showing Jaquetta the picture, and for all of you, basically it looks
It'll
like...
It'll be on the Tumblr.
It looks like a horseshoe, like a little dented horseshoe. And at the bottom of the horseshoe is on each side is a wheel. And what the rider does is strap him or herself into a harness at the top of the arch of the horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hanging there at the top and your feet are dangling down and they just barely skim
Like in the Flintstones, they get it going fast enough.
Yeah, they get
it
going.
And you whip your feet behind you.
Right, onto two little like little posts that are sticking out behind the wheel.
This looks like some kind of white chattel slavery. Is this guy look? Is he a battery of some sort? Like, this is like the Matrix.
Right.
Why do we need this? This is, again, we have bikes.
We have bikes, and this is something, I don't know, I guess.
Why wouldn't you have a seat? It's literally like this guy is bent
hanging.
Over.
So, like, you are hanging, you have,
you,
like,
suspend yourself. Like, imagine, like, the St. Louis Arch.
Yeah.
And you're suspending from the arch.
With a harness that's wrapped around your chest.
Yeah. You have your hands in front of you like a regular bike. And then you just have to book it with your feet.
Yeah.
And then whip your feet up behind you. This is awful. But you
it's
know what?
Terrible.
Nobody's going to steal it.
Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody. But also, imagine if you're a little chesty.
No, it's not for women.
Yeah.
It's not for women at all. Why would somebody? And you know what? That Dyson guy freaks me out. Like, I have a Dyson fan. Sorry, a Dyson.
Vacuum.
Vacuum cleaner. But have you seen the commercial with the Dyson guy on it? He looks very, very superior.
Oh, he is, though.
Dude.
He came up with that.
It's a vacuum.
But he made it.
It's not a cure for cancer.
It came from his imagination.
Everything here came from someone's imagination. You made a vacuum cleaner. And get your teeth fixed.
Yeah, this is. But back to the bike, it's not the most practical bike variation.
Then why make it?
It has the benefit of actually working, unlike some other prototypes.
I would hate the other ones, people. It was just, you just strap yourself to a board and fling yourself down a hill.
Right.
There's nothing.
Or how about, why don't they make it like the one giant wheel and you get yourself tucked into the inside and the rim and just roll
this
down
is like those old bikes. What are they called? The velocipedes? They have the huge wheel on the front and the tiny wheel in the back.
Yes.
And I'm like, that looks like dangerousness.
Yes, this looks like the least sexy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have no friends, obviously, if you...
You can't carry anything, which is one of the perks of a bike.
And then what are you going to... You park it. It's bigger than a bike.
But keep in mind, if the bike falls over, you're strapped to it, people. You can't hop up.
That's right. You can't get out. If someone hits you, it's you and the bike.
If I see someone with that, I'm going to have a stick and be like, remember this?
Right, oh my God. Spokes. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah. All if right. That guy wasn't being teased enough for being a loser, this bike ain't going to help
it's
him.
It's not at all.
Imagine, what if someone comes for a date and they're on that? I'd be like, keep on rolling.
Right. Or you're getting to know somebody.
I would push him away because he can't stop. There's no brakes. Am I wrong?
You're right. There are no brakes. That's right. They didn't even address that.
This is like Medvale School for the Gifted. That's awesome. That is some unpopular.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's science or technology.
I don't know what it is,
technology.
But it's something that I wanted to show you. We'll have the picture up on our Tumblr.
Wow. What a mess. Let's ask, we didn't have any advice in our last podcast, and so we decided to bring you some extra special advice on advice. This is a segment where people are giving advice out there. And it's not good advice.
No.
It's unqualified.
And it stinks,
it
frankly.
It stinks. And we want to improve upon that. So we're giving you advice on that advice. And we guarantee that our advice is solid on this advice.
Right. Okay. So I have this advice from lovingyou.com.
Loving you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it starts out, I live with my boyfriend. We have been together for 4 years now.
Okay.
He has always been a very quiet man, but lately it's driving me crazy. He won't talk about anything. How do I get him to open up? Talk to me. Why doesn't he talk to me? From too shy to speak.
Wow, I don't want to talk to her. Did she say that twice?
Yes.
Whoa.
Right.
Okay.
And they say back, dear too shy to speak, communication styles can drastically vary from person to person. Honestly, there isn't a right or wrong way to communicate. It's just a matter of style. Check. However, the ability to communicate with one another is perhaps one of the strongest indicators of compatibility in a relationship.
When is the advice coming?
This is it.
Okay.
This is it. If this is starting to drive you crazy now, what's it going to be like 10 years from now? This doesn't mean you're not compatible. He just might need some help to open up.
Mm-hmm.
What you could do is offer him help, some new methods of communication he may feel more
comfortable
with.
Because guys love it when you're like, let me help you talk to me. I'll start off. You jump in. That's really good.
An excellent idea that has worked well for many other couples is a couple's journal. In it, you write notes back and forth to each other. You could...
Really?
You could use it as a way to spark new conversation or get him to talk about it himself.
I'm sorry, but if at any point in any relationship, if I'm in the same room with you, but I'm like, give me that book for a second. I just jot something down and then pass it over to you. We need to stop whatever we're doing. I don't know if it's a friendship, if you're my supervisor. Like, everything needs to stop. You couldn't be less communicative than writing a notes in a book.
I know, right?
You know what I write in there? Look, put the toilet seat down. I'm not playing.
It's like Harriet the Spy's yes. notebook, and you have to carry it with you?
Can you imagine? He probably gets home. The guy probably gets home and sees this book, and I was like, oh.
Oh, Jesus. And yeah, he has to sit there and read it.
Yeah.
And how about addressing the fact that maybe this too shy to speak is really, like, she is talking her mouth off.
Or maybe it's the guy just doesn't want to talk to you. We've encountered this with dudes who are like, my wife, you know, doesn't want to have sex with me. And, you know, doesn't want to have sex anymore with you.
Like, with so you. Maybe, you know, you're just overbearing. Maybe you're doing all the talking and you can't get a word in edgewise.
Did they say that?
I'm saying that. Oh, okay. This is my advice.
But
on
you
it.
Did it in the advice voice. I was like, this all of a sudden turned the corner.
Yeah, no.
We don't need to improve upon this
no,
advice.
No, that was my advice.
That was us people.
Another aspect of improving conversation within relationships is to get more involved in hobbies together.
Oh great. So they can not talk to each other while they're doing some physical task.
Yeah, we'll give you something in common to talk about. Mm-hmm. You can solve puzzles, build things, collect something.
How do you collect something with someone and have a good time doing it? I feel like collecting is a solo act, no?
I know, right?
I don't know how to do, how could we collect something together?
I don't know. You both have to, like, look around and then spot it at the same time?
I don't know. And then run for it?
No,
that's a competition. That's right. I made it a competition.
Yeah, so basically this. So the advice is to...
Write in a book.
Write in a book, swapping your conversation that way.
Mm-hmm. That's going to get real passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, almost... Not even get. It's going to start off
passive. It's the worst thing. You can't... I mean, the communication often breaks down when it's the written word.
Yeah. It's going to be like... You're going to open the book and say, why aren't you talking to me?
Aren't we supposed to be doing this?
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't be doing this if you could
exactly,
talk to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe I don't want to talk to you. Oh, now we've got something going.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say it out loud? Because we're using this book. Like... That's awful.
What do you say we put this book away and go collect something?
Yeah. Together. As a team. Or maybe we could solve a puzzle. Here's a puzzle. Why aren't you talking to me? Let's solve that. Jeez. Loving you.
Yeah. So lovingyou.com. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Is there more from them? We could do a double dose of advice.
You
to
want
make
a double
up for
dose?
The last time.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
So I have another one here.
We can
from
do
them.
Whatever we want here. We don't need permission.
It's right.
Yeah. This is our podcast. We're taken back.
Okay. So again, it's lovingyou.com. And the question is, my husband and I have been married for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. To be honest, there isn't any romance or spice in our marriage.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Here's my advice. Get out. There you go.
Oh, he's a very shy person. Another guy.
I'm sorry. How many times in your life have you met a truly shy guy? There are guys who don't want to talk to you
right.
or me.
Right.
But really shy?
No, I don't know. I don't know. About...
And how to
maybe
get married?
Maybe like if they just, you know, blossomed into puberty, they're shy because they're
so... But these
so
are self- men, shy men. I'm just imagining when these women were like, hey, do you want to get married? The guy didn't say anything. And then later he was like, shit, that was, I should have said
right.
something.
Right.
There's
I should have
no
had
time
the,
to
had
be
the
shy.
Journal.
Yeah.
Should have journaled, no. Yes. I don't want to marry you.
In a puzzle, you put it together and says, no. Hell no. B.
Collecting signs that say no.
Yeah. Stop. Anyway, so her husband is shy.
He doesn't like to try anything new or exciting like blindfolds or lotions.
Huh? Okay. I see. Spice.
Spice. That's the spice, yeah.
I was watching, I saw a food thing, a commercial. It was like for some, like a McDonald's type of thing, and it says, it's time to spice things up. I'm like, you don't want to say that in the ad.
No.
Like, that's no. That's the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave the spice out of your food.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like TGI Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, ready to spice things up. I'm like, no, not with a ground chuck or whatever you're trying to give me for $7.99 filled with cheese and a heart attack and God knows what else. Okay.
Okay. I'm really struggling for ideas to heat up our relationship and bring romance back into our lives. Can you please help us?
Yeah.
From There's No Spice.
Wow, I love these people. I'm bored.
Okay, so dear, there's no spa. Could you imagine getting these emails?
Okay. Yes.
When it comes to...
If you have any advice you'd like answered, send them to heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
When it comes to intimacy, it's important to respect both partners' wishes. If he's uncomfortable with certain situations, make sure to avoid them. It doesn't mean you can't be creative, though.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. She was trying to be creative.
No, but that means respect his boundaries, but don't.
Yeah.
There are many ways to get
Slip a dong in the room.
Yeah, he doesn't like it, but do it.
Yeah, but do it.
There are many ways to get your message across to your partner if you want to try some new things. First, you can start a couple's intimate journal. Again.
What? You know what? Stop. This woman actually sells journals, people. She's working for some company, stationery company, Moleskine, Crane. Her job is just, we could write her and be like, I think I want to end it all. First, get a journal.
Get a journal.
Yeah.
You know, I need a job. Get a journal.
Get a journal.
Okay. Here you can privately share your thoughts about sex to each other.
Okay.
You have private thoughts about sex. That's the first thing you want to do is write it down and hand it to somebody.
And then, so it's there forever. Like, you can't take it back or said you phrased it incorrectly.
Right. And then also it gets misplaced.
Mm-hmm. Someone comes over.
Yeah.
That guy from the other relationship who's like, what? All right. Where's this lady? This is a journal I can get into.
They feel that it would, you could avoid awkward moments that he may feel uncomfortable about by writing it down rather than just saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Take turns writing each other sexy ideas or thoughts about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. You have to be able to have a flair with a pen to write something that's going to come across well that way.
I think a guy who is afraid of lotion is not going to cotton to writing, you know, some Cyrano de Bergerac style business down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to have it in him. I don't, you know, he's not a romance writer.
Yeah, right? You can browse some sites together and get sensual ideas from them.
Sensual? Okay.
And ask him what he thinks about this idea, whatever the idea is. And then, would you be willing to try said idea?
Why not? And this may be going out on a limb here. My suggestion is have a porn on when he comes in and just don't even say anything about it.
Or just then point.
Yeah.
And go thumbs up.
Yeah. Real quiet. Yeah. Or you can write in that book, have a look at TV for a second. I don't know. I mean, you know, if he's not sure, if you walk into a room, there's no guy who's going to walk into a room with his wife or a partner and she's watching a porn that he's not going to be like, what's happening here?
Right.
What's going on? It's pretty clear.
All right. So I think that's... for instant gratification, have each of you make a list of 7 of your favorite sensual scenarios. So now you got to get into the whole... You have to be like a playwright.
What if these things involve a waterfall, sandwiches...
And Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. None of this is going to happen.
And then you look over the list and cross out 2 that you would rather not do.
Now you're negotiating.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Number the remaining items 1 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 1 paper with odd numbers and 1 with even to mix up the list a bit. Then when you're ready for some love play, roll a set of dice. Do the scenario that corresponds with it.
No, just buy the dice, people. The dice are out there. Like, really? This is a lot of work.
It's such a... So you have to come
It's
up,
not spicy.
And, you know, and you have to, like... it's like a writing class. You have to come up with all these... All right, look. Writing classes, sometimes it's like 8 weeks and you have to come up with material each week.
Yeah.
Now, in like 1 day, you have to come up with scenarios and then
share them with each other
and then be ready and then be confident with your work and be secure enough in yourself that you can throw 2 out. Like, hell no.
You have to kill your darlings. Yes. Like, these aren't good. These sound fantastic, but this waterfall business.
And then be like fine with that. Like, your most intimate desires are going to be shot down.
Yes.
2 of them.
Yeah. 2 of them. The other ones, you're probably going to have 2 that you really want and just, like, couch them around things like a foot rub. You know, like, things that are, like, really boring. And you're like, but those are the ones I wanted. Oh, God. This is terrible advice.
Remember, intimacy is an important aspect of the relationship, but it isn't always about the sex. Usually, it's more about the type of physical contact.
I mean, it sounds like this woman wants the sex. Am I right?
I think so.
Ladies.
All right. So, after all of the journaling and scenarios and watching the porn... She ends it by saying, you can sometimes achieve the same result just by cuddling on the couch and watching a movie.
I thought she was going to say, just go for it yourself.
No. Make sure to include some special moments like these to help you both stay more fulfilled. So watching a movie on the couch is a special moment.
Mm.
And it's going to fulfill you after all of the
this
above
is somebody
fails.
Who wants some spice.
Yeah,
you know?
not a hug on the couch.
No, this is, I mean, if she gets a hug on the couch, she's going to be very, very, very
That's where she just started.
Yeah.
She just started off.
I think they're probably already doing watching a film on the couch. They probably want to move past that.
Yeah.
And I don't think lotions in a blindfold is that extreme.
No.
I mean, if he's not willing to have get a lotion.
I know. Like, really?
Yes. He should
Seriously.
Be using lotion anyway.
You've been, and it, like, dude's been using lotion for
yeah,
a long time.
Yeah, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Probably since
so if you
they were 12 or 13.
You haven't discovered lotion yet?
Yes.
You're adverse
what
to
are
it?
You doing with a woman?
Yeah.
For 5.5 years. That's phenomenal.
So
all right. So I love it when Katie brings in a list.
I have
see
a, nice
a list,
list
here with a creepy picture on it. So let's.
I
want to say, I'm dying to find out what
okay.
it is.
Okay. This is 50 surprising qualities. Women...
It's always 50.
I know, right?
It's weird. We only cover like 4.
Yeah. By Michelle Zipp.
Yeah, right.
Michelle
okay.
M. Okay. From this is from a site called The Stir.
Okay.
50 surprising qualities women really want in a man. I was like, really? What do women really want in a man?
50? I don't think I can list 50 qualities for a man.
There are some basic things women feel are the most important qualities a man must have, you know, when they're looking for a mate. Things like humor, must be attractive, blah, 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 some smarts.
With blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. They come together. You have to have that to spark that kind of a spark to ignite the bed sheets into a smoldering pile of hot sexiness.
Wow.
Jesus.
Speaking of writing classes.
There are other things us women want we may not really admit to yet can be a deal breaker if you don't get these. So we're not going to admit
oh, so these
want
are
it.
Things that we actually want.
Yeah. That
they're telling us.
We want okay. a man and.
I'm like, don't beat me. Is that on there? Don't beat me.
Oh, yeah. Keep your fist to yourself.
Yeah.
Number one is chest hair. Not back hair or hairy all over, just chest hair. We want that.
We do?
I guess.
Okay. That's number one.
Yeah. Two, nice teeth and must have all of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Not just the important ones, all of them.
Good looking feet. So those are all like body parts.
But you can't, a man can't help his feet.
No. No. I guess maybe get... Trim down the toes.
I mean, you mean like get a manicure? I'm thinking, I once dated a guy when I was very young who had feet that looked like a bird's foot because he always gripped his shoes on the, you know, when he was, you know, he had
no.
people like he always.
Wait, he picked up his shoes with his
no,
toes?
No, like when he was wearing whatever shoes he was wearing, he would always just grip inside of them.
Oh, like a tension thing.
Yeah, like a tension
like
thing.
Like a stress thing. Okay.
And then the first time I saw these feet, I was just like, are you, like it looked like, I don't know, gargoyles or something.
Yeah, you know, people also, on a side note, you got to have your feet massaged on a regular basis,
yeah.
either by yourself or go
somewhere. Or stretch
somewhere.
Them out, yeah.
You have to, because that'll keep you young.
Yeah, keep your feet looking
keep
good.
Keep your feet young and nice. Large hands.
Okay, I mean, fine, but just not freakishly small hands.
Yeah, soft hands, definitely not sandpaper hands,
mm-hmm.
but not too squishy either. Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Someone who's willing to cook, even if he sucks at it.
Mm-hmm. If you suck at cooking, don't try to serve me any food.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're male, female.
Broad shoulders. An intact, circumcised penis.
What? I mean, that's really more of a cultural issue, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you say intact?
Yeah, it's 14 was an intact penis, 15 a circumcised penis.
An intact penis? Where are these penises that are just like
parts that
willy-nilly? That's... I'm sorry about that,
you
that
take
people.
Apart.
Intact?
Yeah.
Okay.
A guy who could be social with strangers.
Now, hold on. These are things that we won't admit to. I don't think there's... I think most women will admit to preferring an intact member.
But I think
member.
That some of these things are so, like, basic. It's
yeah.
not like, my
if there are any men
will come
listening,
and he's going to have soft hands.
And an intact penis. Yeah. Gentlemen, please, don't listen to these lists. Listen to them, but don't take it to heart.
Yeah, right. A man who is eager to please. Someone who doesn't freak out if I fart in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Women don't fart, so that's not
that's
a problem.
Right. A man who isn't too squeamish. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like a guy who's squeamish.
And isn't afraid to kill bugs.
But I feel the same way about my friends. Like, I don't like a squeamish person.
Right.
I don't have time for that. There's Nobody too many. Does. This is New York. If you're squeamish, I don't know. Right, right. Suburbs.
A man who can fix things around the house, can be spontaneous.
Okay. Good luck with that, ladies. Yeah. I mean, yes, everybody does want a man who could fix things around the house, but that's just because we want someone who could fix things around the house.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't care who it is.
Even if you have to pay someone.
Yeah.
A good endurance in the tongue muscle.
Hey.
I know. Right? That was number 20. That's 21.
So this is the week in Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman is an actor who we say we respect. We find him decent, and we follow his exploits every week, and we like to report on them. And Katie has got some Bateman news.
And we don't love him, and we're not sexually attracted to him.
No, not at all.
But he's decent.
He's all right.
So here's the news in Jason Bateman. Okay, so Arrested Development. What could make it even better?
If it came on.
Yeah, but Conan O'Brien was on it.
Oh.
And there was a photo. And in the photo, it's Conan O'Brien, who's his sidekick?
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter and Jason Bateman. And everyone is excited because it says here, Jason Bateman is wearing his Michael outfit.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably very similar to what Jason Bateman
normally wears.
It's
this is the first time we've seen Jason Bateman in his Michael Bluth costume in over 6 years.
My costume is like a button-down shirt.
Blue shirt and khaki pants, khaki like pants. We saw him at the zoo with his kids.
In that picture. What most people wear.
You know, of course, Michael just wears normal clothing. It's not like he wears a banana or a hook or cut-off jean shorts under his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Or is he? That's the other character that does that.
Yeah, Tobias Funke, who I have a hard time looking at because of his face. I have to say, I am not on Team Coco. I'm not a huge fan of Conan O'Brien. I once watched a montage of, like, him coming out. Like, they cut all these things together of him coming out. He does, like, some weird little dance.
Yeah, the string dance.
And I'm watching it, and it just made me want to cry.
You didn't like it?
There's something so sad about him. I don't know what it is. Whenever I watch him being funny or trying to amuse the audience, it's that sad comedian thing.
I went to a taping of his show, and it's a small theater. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in the back, and at first I was like, oh, no, I'm sitting in the back, because I always love to sit in the front. And he came out and warmed up the crowd beforehand. And
he did his own warm-up?
He did his own warm-up at the time. This was years ago. And he did this dance. They played Hunk of Burning Love, and he danced around. And then he walked up to a woman in the front and danced at her. And it scared me so bad. I was like, I'm so glad I wasn't there, sitting in the front.
Did you know you would have gotten danced at?
I would have gotten danced at. And I was like, I don't know how if I would have handled it. It made me so uncomfortable. I'm not scared. I was so uncomfortable.
But that's how I feel when I watch him. Like, there's a song by Dori Previn, or Dori Previn sings it, called The Comedian. And it's about this guy who's a comedian. And he notices that he has a piece of his sleeve is unraveling. And it starts to unravel and unravel. And then eventually there's nothing left at all.
Oh.
And the refrain is like, and the audience, you know, the joke was lauded and the audience applauded. And they were like, more, more, more. That's how I feel like one day he's just going to poof.
And
everyone's going to be like, oh, ha, ha, ha. It just does something frightening about him to
Okay.
me. Sorry, Coco.
I still like you, Coco, but even though you make me uncomfortable.
Even though you dance at a woman.
Yeah, you dance at women. Anyway, so thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Why don't you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, and we will read it on our next show and send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass.
Do not accept substitutes, people. There are other podcasts out there who may be giving, like, Hey Y'all Know It, you know, or Hey You Knew It shot glasses. Don't go for that, people.
You know it. You never knew it. You know it now.
You know it now. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, so to that, why don't you check us out? We're on Stitcher Radio. Tell your friends. Follow us on Twitter and follow us on Tumblr. And send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Bye. No, never date a musician.
No. Or a singer.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Oh, do you ever see someone, like, watch a man who likes the sound of his own voice sing?
Yes, that's most men who sing. Like, really? Somebody, please tell Kid Rock
to see this list. Yeah, no kidding, right?